love your music, love your church. If I moved to Madison, Virginia, or anywhere near here, I wouldn't even visit another church. I'd walk in here the first Sunday and say, if you'll take me, I want to be a member of this church. Don't take for granted what you have. Great preaching, good stand, good spirit, people being saved, good attitude. Some people have got a good stand, but they're mean. You all got a good stand and you're nice. And I like it. Mark chapter 5, if you would please. Mark chapter 5. Stand with me as we begin at verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, here is the first mention of government health care. And had suffered many things of many physicians. And spent all that she had was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And it worked. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples. Watch out when a disciple thinks they're smarter than Jesus. Oh, you're not going to be crucified. Oh, Lord, you don't have to retouch your clothes. Why, you see the multitude thronging about thee. And sayest thou, who touched me? But he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be healed of thy plague. Jesus was making an important point. She was healed when she had faith to touch his clothes. She was not healed because she touched his clothes. She was healed because she had faith. You may have prayed and asked Jesus to save you. You weren't saved because you prayed. You're saved because you trusted. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody comes to Jesus, comes by faith. Everybody pleases Jesus, does so by faith. And while he yet spake, verse 35, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Wow. How callous can you be? Hey, your daughter's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. Harsh, totally uncompassionate. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, say the next two words out loud with me, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, John, the brother James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and then that wept and wailed greatly. They hire mourners in Bible lands. They hire people to make noise at weddings. It sounds about the same as the funeral. I've been there, I've heard them both. And when he's come, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. him to scorn. But when he put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and he entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. And he commanded that something should be given her to eat. Lord, would you guide me to say all and only the things you want said? And would you empower me? I always need your strength. I'm certainly aware of it tonight. Bless this portion of your word to the hearts of your children, your people, your church. And Lord, bind the devil and his demons. Keep them from snatching away any of the seed of your word from the soil of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. A man comes to Jesus with a request. It's a request of feeling. He said, my little daughter is sick at the point of death. It's a request of fervor. He besought him greatly. It's a request of faith. If you put your hand on her, she'll get better. Jesus has a response to that request. He's willing. He goes with him. But on his way, a lady who has a chronic illness, not a critical one, been sick of the same thing 12 years. She'll be the same tomorrow as she was yesterday. She'll be ill next week as well as this week. Doesn't matter. But she says, if I could touch his garment, I'd be made whole. She does. She is. Jesus stops, interrupts his journey to Jairus' daughters. And he says, who touched me? The disciples mock him. There's a big crowd. What do you mean, who touched you? The woman, he looks at her. She comes forth, falls down at his feet, and tells him all the truth. By the way, that's a good idea. Tell the truth to Jesus. And he says, it was not you touching me. It was your faith that made you whole. Now, while he waits, the daughter dies. Isn't that something? Does it ever seem to you that Jesus helps people with minor problems while you wait with a major problem? You got something life-threatening, something life and death, and he goes and he helps somebody else. Why did he do that? The crowd comes from the house of Jairus, and they say, thy daughter is dead. Don't bother the master any further. Callous. I was a police chaplain, sheriff's chaplain for 20 years. I did a lot of death notifications. If I'd ever done one like that, I'd have been fired from my volunteer job. It's terrible. Now, you don't drag it out. It don't take forever. But you say, can we come in? Would you sit down? I'm afraid of some bad news. There's an accident. Your loved one was involved. They did not survive. We believe they did not suffer. But you don't say, oh, are you Jimmy's dad? Yeah, he's dead. Terrible. Calloused. And they believe this. And I think Jairus believes this. Jesus could have healed my sick daughter, but he cannot help my dead daughter. See, we have scenarios we construct that we imagine the Lord working things out, and we call them faith. Well, maybe the give me an extension on that loan. Maybe I'll get a raise. Maybe my aunt will have the grace to die. Leave me a little bit of money. Maybe this new medicine will work. And we trust God to do what we imagine he could do. God very often deliberately takes us past that point where we can see no way at all. And he gives Jairus a message, and it is the message for me and for you and for your church and for the rest of your life. He says, only believe. Only. That's all you need to worry about. That's all you need to concern yourself with. That's all you need to focus on. That's all you need to do. Only believe. The idea is, Jairus, you had faith to come to me, didn't you? Now, you don't need more faith. You don't need new faith. You don't need different faith. But you do need to keep on exercising the faith you have. I don't know what your problem is, but I know what Jesus' answer is. Only believe. Just keep on believing. So here's the result. He goes to the house and he says, hey, she's not dead. She's only asleep. And the hired mourners laugh at him. So he kicks them out. Cast out the scorner. Contention shall cease. Gets rid of them. But he says, she's not dead. She sleeps. Did you know that I am never going to die? Now, this old body, 7 years old, and a couple of 7 years old next Wednesday, I guess. Tuesday, next Tuesday. Week from today. What's today? 20th. 20th, yeah, next Tuesday, I'll be 7 years old. So if I make it another week, I got my 3 score and 10. One day it's going to stop functioning. And the minute it does, I'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I don't know how much better my voice will get between now and the time I go, but it'll be perfect then. I'm not singing any solos these days. I squeak along with the song's surface because the Bible commands me to sing. And by the way, if you got a voice, I don't care if it's a good voice, and you don't sing, shame on you. You're commanded to sing. That's not window dressing. That's not something to fill in the first half hour of the service. That is a command for the people of God when they come together. So, he says, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. He goes in and he takes her by the hand. And he says, damsel, arise. And she comes completely back to life. Did you know there are 3 times in the Bible Jesus raises somebody from the dead? And everyone's an only. Jairus' only daughter. Mary and Martha's only brother. The widow of Nain's only son. I think he may have done more that we don't know about, but the ones he reveals to us in the Bible, he lets us know he did it for people who had special needs. Didn't have another son, didn't have another brother, didn't have another daughter. And he resurrects her from the life, back to life. Now, here's the message. And I'm closer to being through than you wish. I don't know what your issue is, but keep on believing. People get saved. We got new Christians in the church, and they're excited, and everything's great, and it's doing wonderful. And then trouble comes. And they say, preacher, I thought with Jesus I wouldn't have these issues. I thought the storms wouldn't come. Oh, no, the storm still comes. He just helps you sail through it. The old song we sang in junior church said, with Christ in the vessel, I can smile at the storm. Didn't say, with Christ in the vessel, the sea's always calm. I thought I wouldn't be sick. I thought my wife would be nice all the time. I thought my husband would actually do some chores around the house. I thought my dog wouldn't have fleas. You didn't get that from the Bible. You got that watching the Hooky Pooky station. But you know what you do, new Christian? Keep on exercising the faith you have. You have unsaved loved ones. You've prayed for them for years. I mentioned my dad. Prayed for his dad for 17 years. What do you do? Just keep on believing. You've got a mess of a family situation. You see no way out. There's no possible solution you can imagine. What do? Just keep on believing. You have wayward children. You have a terrible work situation. You're mistreated. You're abused. You have no alternative. Can't get a better job. What do? Just keep on believing. My dad got saved when he was 21. His dad was Catholic. His mom was Methodist. He immediately went back and witnessed to him. His mom turned out had been saved. He never went to church. They never went because of their mixed marriage religiously. My dad listened to the gospel, was kind to my dad, was respectful to him, but he wouldn't get saved. 17 years. One night, we're living in Detroit, Michigan. My dad ran the Detroit Rescue Mission. My Aunt Ruthie called. She said, Kenny, Dad's in the hospital. He doesn't have long. He may have a few days, may have a few weeks. But if you want to see him again, you better come pretty soon. Dad backed a bag, got in the car, left that night. Drove all night from Michigan to Massachusetts. Went straight to the hospital. Went to see my dad, gave him the gospel. He said, Dad, wouldn't you trust Christ as your Savior? And my grandpa said, no. My dad said, why not? My grandpa was a troubleshooter for the utility company. He was the guy they called when they couldn't fix it. At 65 years old, he could scamper up a utility pole like a 20-year-old. And my grandpa said, all my life I worked for everything I got. I raised 7 children through the Depression. My dad's the 6th of 7, was born in 1927. Never went on the dole. Never asked anybody for a thing. Never took a dime from anybody. He said to think the only way I get to heaven is by taking a gift. I can't do that. By the way, the only way to get to heaven is by taking a gift. Amen. The gift of everlasting life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can think what you want about this. My grandpa said, Dad, would you like to see my mother again? Oh, he said, I would. She's a good woman. We have had a lot of good years together. Dad said, the only way you'll ever see him again is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And Grandpa said, okay. And he prayed and asked Jesus to save him. Just then the doctor came in and said, we got to get your father a blood transfusion. He said, you go right ahead. He's just been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Dad came home. In the kindness of the Lord, my grandpa lived for 5-6 more weeks. And about 2 or 3 weeks into that, my dad had a prior scheduled revival meeting near my grandpa's hometown. His hometown, my grandpa's house. We all went. Stayed in the house of my grandpa. My grandpa, I remember very few things about him. These 2 fingers were cut off at the middle knuckle. And I loved watching him take tissues out of a box with his little finger and index finger. He smoked cigarettes, sat in an easy chair, and watched television every night until the test patterns came on. Some of you have no idea what that is. We were not always cursed with 24-hour-a-day television. And we went up there But I noticed something different. My grandpa still smoked. He still sat in a chair. But my dad had got him a giant print Bible, and he read that Bible all the time. And we come back from church, and he'd say, "Son, did anybody get saved tonight?" Never asked that question before. Came time to go. We all bent over, kissed my grandpa's tobacco-scented cheek. My dad, first time in years, leaned over, kissed his dad. It wasn't long. My grandpa died. My dad went back for the funeral. But he got to say, absent from the body, present with the Lord. What was the secret? Was it that business about your grandma? No. For 17 years, he kept on believing. I heard a preacher, you might have heard this same illustration, say that Robert Browning was a poet. Elizabeth Barrett was a poet. She was bedridden, sick. He read her poetry, went to visit her. And the preacher said on his first visit, she sat up in bed. On his second visit, she got out of bed and walked. And on his third visit, they eloped. Great testimony to the power of love. So I was in a used bookstore one time. I saw a Reader's Digest edition of biographies, had the biography of Elizabeth Barrett and Robert Browning. I said, "Oh, I'll read that." Well, he was a poet. She was a poet. He was interested in her poetry. Went to see her. She was bedridden. And on his 47th visit, they eloped. I thought, another great story ruined by the facts. Then I thought, no, that's a better story. Love doesn't say, 1, 2, 3, run away with me. Love comes 20 and 30 and 40 and 47 times. Love keeps on believing. Oliver Cromwell was a Protestant leader of England. He was called the one strong man. He was harsh. He was strict. He had to be. There were those who opposed him. One day a soldier of his had committed what we would think was a minor infraction, but Cromwell, for that infraction, had the death penalty. The young soldier was engaged. His friends, they couldn't believe she was going to lose her loved one for something so minor. She went to Cromwell and she pled her case. And he was impressed. But he said, "I'm sorry. If I let your fiance go, I lose all the discipline I've ever established on this army. Your fiance will die when the curfew rings tonight." The fiancée didn't stop there. She went to the bell tower that rang curfew. She climbed up. She went out, climbed under the bell, grabbed the clapper, held on to it. And when the old deaf sextant came to ring curfew, the bell swang, but it never rang. He didn't know that. Cromwell went to see why the curfew wasn't ringing. By this time, she had painfully made her way down to the bottom of the bell tower. And the poet tells the story like this. At his feet, she told her story, showed her hands all bruised and torn, and her young, sweet face, still haggard with the anguish it had worn, touched his heart with sudden pity, lit his eyes with misty light. "Go! Your lover lives," cried Cromwell. "Curfew shall not ring tonight." What did she do? She kept on believing. Lord, I don't know who needs this or for what. I do know you wanted me to preach it. Use it in every heart to your intended purpose. And we'll thank you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Simple invitation. I wonder who says, "Brother Ouellette, I needed the truth. I need to apply it. I need to keep on believing. You pray with me about that." You say that, hold your hand up high. God bless you, Father. Bless the invitation to your intended purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please? Music plays. The altar's open. You come do what God wants you to do.